Bednar, a strike away from shaking hands. Here's the 0-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Bednar saves it. Nick Gonzalez with the game-winning hit in the eighth. And the Pirates have won 9 of 11. They're within a game of the Cardinals and currently in wild card position with their win tonight, 2-1 over St. Louis.
Pirates beat the Brewers 2 out of 3. Then they sweep the White Sox. They take 2 out of 3 from baseball's best team, the Phillies, looking to win their fourth consecutive series with Paul Skenes on the mound tonight at PNC Park. And we want to hear from you. 100 games into this thing, the Buccos at 51-49. What would constitute a successful season for them? Simply getting a wild card spot. Do they have to win the division? Do they have to win in the playoffs? Or do they just have to finish above 500? 412-928-9370 on that fan hotline, which is brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Best call on that question wins a 4-spot of tickets to the Pony League World Series. Before the calls start coming in and before we discuss that in full form ourselves, we did not talk about this earlier. And I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up now. Rowdy Tellez's diving stop at first base saved that game. I just watched the replay on my phone. That'll get down to the corner and score 2 runs and you're down 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Ball game probably finished at that point, even though they have become the battling Bucks of late. Not only has he turned it around offensively, he's actually been pretty good defensively. And, Callis, you said you had something you wanted to add on Tellez?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up, actually, is that he did that, and he's been great defensively on top of his pretty scorching offense here recently. But I have a theory about the Pirates that I kind of want to swirl around a bit. And just to say that maybe the strategy of being patient will become more popular than just cutting ties with players who may not do well for a stretch.
Well, they're being patient with Sawinski and nothing has happened. They're being patient with Key Brian Hayes and nothing has happened.
But they're not as cold as Tellez was. I'll say that.
Key Brian Hayes has an OPS under 600.
Right.
And Jack Sawinski's hitting 170.
Wasn't Tellez's OPS at like 400 at some point?
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, so it was bad. And I'm not going to give them too much credit for Tellez. Like, it's nice that he's turned it around. I think just as much to do with it as anything else is that they were paying him $3.5 million.
Yes.
And they didn't want to pay a guy not to be a Pittsburgh
Absolutely.
Pirate.
That's where it's at.
Because those guys, well, Hayes, I mean, you're going to hang on because he's making $8.75 million a year. And Sawinski's cheap, so there's, I don't know.
Not something to be said, though, for a strategy.
They weren't patient with Rowanzi. I mean, it just goes, it ebbs and flows. But it has worked out for them. And oddly, when we talked way before about what they might need at the deadline, first base was always one of the big options. Now it's not. Now you feel pretty good about Rowdy Tellez over there. How the turntables.
He has done that a lot, though, in the field.
Yes, he has.
He's done that a lot this year, especially whenever he caught his hot streak. Whenever he was hitting, he was making some plays in the field and not just making routine, you know, first baseman plays. Like, he's been very good on both sides of the ball.
Yes, he has.
Very good.
And I wonder if just the confidence hitting the ball the way that he is kind of gives him the ability to go, okay.
Right.
Because I'd imagine you take that baggage into the field with
you. Oh, yeah. You're thinking about it the whole time.
You have to be. Especially him hearing the boos the way that he was.
Mm-hmm.
What a turnaround. One of the more unexpected turnarounds that I can think about. Didn't we bring up, like, maybe Mason Rudolph kind of fits that? You haven't seen a lot of that, especially the way he was hearing it from the fans. So what do you think, Doran? What do they need to do these next 62 games for us at the end of the year to go, you know what, that was a really good Pirates season?
I think that at least, at bare minimum, a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Because then you can look back at the end, and whatever happens, happens after that, but you can look back at the season and say, we have the recipe for next year. Like, we just need to add certain pieces. Like, whenever you're going into an offseason and there's so much unknown, you don't have that identity of a team, it's hard to place the right pieces appropriately to make sure that you do have a fighter's chance in the next season. So if they do bare minimum they have to make it to a wild card spot because it's like, okay, we have this piece. We have Keller. We have Skeens. We got Jones. We got Ortiz. We've got even, you know, Kutch in a sense. We got Reynolds. We got, you know, Gonzalez. Now where can we add to make sure that next year we know what got us here but can help us and vault us to winning that wild card series and winning a playoff series?
Yeah, I think it would be hard. I agree with you 100%. You got to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You got it. You're so close and you've got so many of the right pieces in place. You need to be able to go in this offseason and then subsequently next year with momentum.
Yes.
And I don't think just finishing above 500 does that.
No.
Because you're going to get lapped by teams if you're not making the postseason, even if you do finish above 500. And I think most of us are going to be left with a bad taste in our mouths. Now, you might be able to make the argument that if you make the postseason, and we've all said if you get there, you got a chance in short series, that the momentum could be sapped by losing a playoff series. I don't know if I would buy that. I think if you get in, everything you said is right, Dorn. Because you hit the offseason, you think, all right, what do we need to push us over the top? So that's it for me. And it's the subject of our PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement, funnily enough. TrustPJ.com. 65% of the voters so far saying, yeah, they got to get at least a wild card spot. Winning the division would be sick, though.
Yeah.
And I think it's in play. You're 6 games back. You are 7 games over 500 since Skeens and Nick Gonzalez came up. It's doable. I don't look at the Brewers, and we saw the Pirates take 2 out of 3 in that House of Horrors. I don't think they're that much better than the Pirates. Like, if the Pirates, the way they're built right now, if they had Skeens up from the beginning of the year, and I know that I said that I agree with their decision, and I do, but if they did, they might be in first place right now. They could be. They could be.
The Brewers are just a team that's taking advantage of the opportunities that are, you know, within the division, within the NL. That's what the Brewers are doing. They're not just this fantastic, like, oh, they're coming to town. This is a fit. Like, they're not the Phillies.
Right.
You know, I don't get the same feel whenever the Pirates play the Brewers that I did against the Phillies. Like, this is the best team in baseball. The Brewers are just taking advantage of everybody being in one spot together.
Yes.
Which the Pirates could easily, not easily do, but they could do that to an extent.
Well, isn't that also part of the reason why just finishing over 500 is not good enough?
Exactly, because everybody, I mean, like, it's all jumbled up.
Yeah, you've got a chance to make the playoffs getting into the mid-80 win range, and that was the case last year in the NL. It might not be the case next year. It might not be that the year after that, and the division's probably going to get tougher. The Chicago Cubs actually announced yesterday, their general manager, that they're sellers. We're going to get into that a little bit later on, and what that actually could mean for the Pirates in a couple of different ways, but they're going to spend money. They just did on a manager. The Cardinals, they're going to buy at the deadline, and they're going to spend money this offseason. The Brewers, oddly, will spend certainly more money than the Pirates. The division is down. The league is down. You've got an opportunity. So just finishing above 500 is not good enough. Not now. Not when you've got a sprint remaining. Mm-hmm. When you've got just 62 games left, you got to find a way to get into the playoffs. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Mike in Scott Township first up on this. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are we doing?
We're doing great, man.
I think that it's, to be honest, NLCS or bust with this team. If they're going to get into the playoffs, and all I hear, you know, and all I see, and I'm a season ticket holder myself, is they get in, the pitching will take over. I don't see why they couldn't. They need to add a bat, and I think it's NLCS or bust.
NLCS or bust? We'll put him on hold, Mike, in Scott Township. Man, I can't go that far.
Mm-mm.
But I understand what he's saying. Starkey wrote the column, Pirates have a better chance to win a World Series than to make the playoffs, and that's because we all know that they're designed with their pitching to go on a run in a series of short series. But if they make it and they get a game at PNC Park and this place is going bonkers, I think it will have been a successful year because they'll have taken advantage at least of this opportunity to get in, and I think we'd all look at it as the front end of this window that's finally opening that we've been waiting so long for. I don't need a banner this year. It'd be great, but if they get in, I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied. If they did win the division, though, hats, T-shirts, they haven't done that in so long.
So long.
I'd be gearing up, man. Like, and we
it'd
had
be
this,
an insane accomplishment.
It would.
Yeah. Like, this is like, you know, I know we were talking wild card, but if they did that, that would be an insane accomplishment.
The ground they'd have to make up to,
yes,
to do it.
They would just have to be scorching from here and just build it all the way up until, you know, weeks from now that they're just absolutely scorching. Like, they're just, they can't lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to go on one of those 20-8 kind of runs like the beginning of last year. I mean, you do have a lot of ground to make up, and their schedule is so hard that to have that
they
kind
play
of winning
good
percentage.
Or the well, tough team.
You're right, though. You're 100% right about
they
that.
They do.
Like, what have they shown you, especially of late, that makes you think that they're not just as good, if not better, than some
all,
of these teams?
All season, Crowley. Think about it. Orioles.
Yep, 2 out of 3.
Think about it. They split with the Phillies the first time. They beat the Dodgers. They beat the Braves. And now they beat the Phillies, and they could be on their way of beating the Cardinals.
2 out of 3 against the Brewers we just talked about.
Brewers.
Mm-hmm. I don't look at them and think, like, when you compare them side by side on the same field, I don't go, oh, man, Milwaukee's head and shoulders better than them.
No.
I certainly don't think that about the Cardinals. I tweeted it out this morning. I think the Pirates are better than the Cardinals. We've seen enough of them. Their run differential's terrible. They win a lot of close games, and credit to them and kudos to them for doing that. But they don't have the same Cardinal mystique as teams past. Like, the voodoo Cardinal magic BS, the Pirates have kind of turned the tables on them. Like, Rowdy Tellez making the diving stop, that's the kind of deal that they always do to us.
Right.
And Nick Gonzalez coming through in the clutch is the kind of crap the Cardinals always do to us. Like, Wong is going to hit a home run or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or Matt Carpenter, without his batting gloves, is going to do something. It seems like they've turned the tables on them. That's like the fourth time I've used that phrase. Sorry. I just don't look at any of these teams in the division and go, oh, yeah, they're way better than the Pirates. And now the Cubs are selling. So you tell us at 412-928-9370, 62 games left in the Pirates season. They've now played 100 games on the nose. What do they need to accomplish for this season to be deemed, in your eyes, a success? 412-928-9370. Best caller wins a pair of tickets, wins 4 tickets, actually, to the Pony League World Series. You can also text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll talk to you about this next. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Happy Skeens Day to all who celebrate. Who's not celebrating that these days? In Pittsburgh and all across the sports world, Paul Skeens is must-watch television. More on him a little bit later on in the show. Buccos in St. Louis tonight at 6:40, and you can hear the game right here on 93.7 The Fan. The question right now, though, is with 62 games remaining, the Buccos have now played 100 games on the year. What do they need to do for you at the end of the year to go, okay, that was a successful Pirates season? 412-928-9370. Me and Doran say you just got to get in. Just get in. Wild card, division, whatever. You got to make the playoffs. What say you at 412-928-9370? Scott and Aliquippa next up. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Adam, Doran, how you guys doing?
Delightful.
Good.
Good. I got 3 points for you, right? Number one, they're the hottest team in baseball. They're 9-2 of their last 11. Number two, they don't go in slump. They're a fighting team. When's the last time they had a three in a row loss, right?
Yeah,
number
not
three,
since May.
If they get in the playoffs, right, you have Skeens, Keller, or Ortiz and Jones in a three-game series. What more do you want? Let's go all the way. I don't want to hear another thing about 2025 as a Pirate fan. Let's say you.
So you're saying World Series, Scott?
I'm not saying World Series. I'm saying definitely make the playoffs. And if they do with that three-game series, the sky's the limit with those three starters.
Thank you, Scott.
And you have options.
We'll put you on hold. So I didn't know if I wanted to say this or not. Here we are on June 23rd.
July.
Okay. Well, I definitely didn't want to say that. So here we are on July 23rd, and I'm putting it out there. This team can absolutely win the World Series. They can win the World Series. Sure they can. They don't need to for me to say, wow, that season was a success. They haven't won the World Series since 1979, and I think all of us would say 2013 was a success, winning the wild card game. getting Pittsburgh back on the baseball map. That was a successful three-year period. It left you wanting more, but 13 for sure was a success. Getting there, to me, would be a success. But when you do have Skeens, when you do have Keller, when you've got Luis Ortiz, when you're going to have Jared Jones, when you've got Bailey Falter, the bullpen now looks way legit. I mean, it can't go better than last night.
Nope.
The last two performances from Aroldis Chapman are the best we've seen him all year long. And Bednar was sharp as a tack yesterday. He was outstanding. The bullpen with Majinski, with Holderman, the guys I previously mentioned, with Nicholas, the bullpen looks as good as we thought it would coming into the year. If they do get in, they've got a chance to win the World Series. Of course they do. Because the assumption there will also be that to push them into a playoff spot, they'll have added a bat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's more likely than not. I'm not saying it's above a 5% chance. But this team absolutely could win the World Series.
Okay. With that being said, I have two things for you. Mm-hmm. If you think that they could win the World Series, if they do get in, do you think they could win again next year?
Sure.
Do you think so? Basically, you're saying that within the 6 years of Paul Skeens, if they could, if they win one this year, then they could win two.
Yes, they have health, obviously.
Yeah, of course,
health.
But
obviously.
I mean, you figure next year they're getting Oviedo, they're getting Andy Rodriguez back. And then if they add, which is my next question, would you be okay with them adding a rental then, if that would push them?
Oh man, that's a great question.
And not have control over that so-called player.
Mm-hmm.
For the future, but add right now and a rental to push them over that edge and to get them into that realm.
I would not give up, just as an example, Bubba Chandler for a rental, but I have now changed my tune on the rental deal. Like, if you can, at a reasonable cost, you can bring in a rental, then yeah, if I think they have a chance to win the World Series, you can do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see the perfect trade deadline for me, man, would be if they acquired a guy who you've got for the next 2-3 years and then one more piece that comes at a cheaper cost because he is a rental and now you've bolstered two spots.
Yeah.
Because rental, yeah, it's not as good. But because of that, you're probably not going to have to give up as much. So you can package bigger time prospects for a guy with control and maybe have give a few a package of lesser prospects to get a rental, I hope, in an ideal world. But of course, do you agree they got a shot to win a World Series?
I think that I fell in line with what Starkey wrote about a month ago. Yeah, it's harder for them to get in, but it's easier. I could see them winning a World Series, but it's harder for them in my mind to get in. Like the road to getting in is harder than the road to the World Series. That's a better way to say.
Yeah, what you got five teams right now, and you're jockeying for wild card position with, and you've got a very difficult schedule down the path here.
I mean, but everything would have to go right.
Of course, of course. But the reason I say they've got a chance, and we've laid this out a million different times, every show has, their rotation, their pitching. But I just look at last year, man, and the Diamondbacks get in with 84 wins, and they go to the World Series. The year before that, the Phillies sneak into the postseason, and they go to the World Series. Baseball is a big sample size sport. That's why you play 162 games. Pirates aren't better than the Phillies. They're not better than the Dodgers.
All they have to do is be better than them how many games?
Right.
Right.
You got to win 4 out of 7.
Right.
And they've already won a series against the Dodgers. They just won a series against the Phillies. I'm not saying it's the most likely thing in the world, but
it's not something that you would just be like,
I'm not writing it off.
Right.
So you had Zangrilli on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Did he change his tune? Because he said whenever I talked to him last Monday, that they had a 0% chance of making the playoffs.
He definitely changed his tune, and I gave him the floor to do that. Changed it. Because I was wondering, too. I didn't even ask him before. Whenever he had him on, I was like, hey, do you want to talk about what you talked about last Monday with Crowley? I just was like, you know what? You said this. Mm-hmm. Do you want the time to talk about it? And he was like, you know what? I will backpedal. I will. So.
And honestly, for good reason, too. Right? Because when I talked to him, they had just beat the White Sox.
Right.
Right? Now you beat the Phillies. You take the first game of a series against St. Louis, things change. I mean, that I wouldn't have said the World Series thing last week, but Philly's got a great starting rotation, right? And the Dodgers are the Dodgers. But they don't throw Skeens at you twice in a 7-game series.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitch Keller, a pretty doggone good number two. I think we can finally say that, right?
Yes.
And he could be a one on a lot of teams. Like Mitch Keller is now a constant for you. And you would throw that potentially four times out of seven games, and then you Jones or Ortiz or, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Now, I see what you're thinking here.
Again, not like we got people texting, I'm gonna change the channel. I can't believe you're saying this about the Pirates. Again, the Diamondbacks last year. Again, the Phillies the year before. They didn't win a lot of games in the regular season. It's a crapshoot. It really is. The Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, these teams that have spent money for our entire lives. Now, the Red Sox, probably not a good example because it's led them to winning multiple championships. But the Yankees, you know, they won in what, 08, 09? Okay. They win 90 games every damn year.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't guarantee anything.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers win 90 games or more every year. Doesn't guarantee you anything because the postseason is wild, man. So you got a shot. There is now maybe a player or multiple players that could be coming available at the deadline that we didn't think were going to be available until yesterday. We'll tell you who. We'll tell you why when we come back. And we should probably give those Pony League World Series tickets away to Mike from Scott Township. But the rest of you who are on the line, if you want to hang on, we'll talk to you as well at 412-928-9370. Coming up in 15 minutes as we're previewing the Steelers season, we will take a look at the running back position. We're doing offense today at the 50-minute marks. We're doing defense tomorrow as the Steelers will report to training camp, St. Vincent College in Latrobe tomorrow. But the Pirates are the story. Paul Skeens pitching tonight with a chance to take two out of three, at least, against a hated St. Louis Cardinals team. I said in the last segment that I think the Pirates do have a chance to win the World Series this year. I don't put a high likelihood on it, but they have a chance. And people on the text line are going, oh, gee, come on! John Smoltz says they're dangerous. I mean, how many experts have we heard say you don't want to face the Pirates in the postseason, thus implying that they could do some damage if they got there? Catch lightning in a bottle and you're throwing Skeens two times in a seven-game series. Crazier things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
They have. Now, there could be a few new players on the trade market as Jed Hoyer, the president of baseball ops for the Chicago Cubs, announced that his team, barring a winning streak, will be sellers at the deadline. How nuts is that, first of all, that a guy would come out and say that this far in advance of the deadline? Now, it's not too far. It's 8 days, 7 days away. But when you got six games left, you could win six games mm-hmm. in a row, especially mm-hmm. the way that they've largely pitched this year. So they're looking at 2025 and beyond. I wonder, honestly, if the Cubs would be willing to part ways with like an Ian Happ. Mount Lebanon guy who's hit 16 homers this year. He's got an OPS at 800, due $21 million this year, $19 million next year. Because he's not an elite player, just a very good player, because of the price tag of $40 million over the next couple of years, I could see him being highly sought after, but probably not be able to command a ton of big-time prospects because they'd be shifting salary off their books. I wonder if they're going to move on from him. And he has played center field in the past, not the last 2 years. Primarily a corner outfielder now, but it's not like they don't need corner outfield help. Maybe you could try him again in center field. I wonder if the Buccos might be calling the Cubs on Ian Happ.
Do you think that the Cubs would do a deal like that with the Pirates?
In division?
Right.
We've seen it. I mean, we saw that's how the Buccos wound up with Oviedo. They made a deal with St. Louis. Now, at that time, the Pirates weren't a contender, and that might change the math. And this is a player with a couple of years of control. So next year, if you are the Cubs and you do think you can be a contender, you'd have to go up against the Pirates now with Ian Happ. Maybe that shoots my theory in the butt when I talk about not having to give up too much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there'd be an extra cost of doing business with a division foe. Cody Bellinger as well.
See, I think that Paul Skeens throws a thorn in the side of anything within the division. Everybody knows what the deal is with him. Every team knows. You're not going to do a deal with the Pirates if you're in division because you're going to have to see that guy for the next over half a decade.
Yeah. And now we've just bolstered their chances to beat up on us.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
I wouldn't. Like, if I was GM, I would not do a deal with the Pirates if I was in the Central.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
I don't think I would either. And if I did, it would have to be, okay, give me Harrington, give me Bubba Chandler.
Yes.
So that for the next five. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I want your top prospects.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right about that. Yeah.
All right. Skeens has done that.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to have to deal with that rotation. And now we've given you
that?
We've legitimized you with a corner outfielder who can hit 30 home runs this year.
Every general manager and team has a pulse on every other team and what they need and how close they are. Like, I'm sure the Reds, the Cards, the Brewers, and the Cubs understand that the Pirates are a bat or two away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we cannot enhance that.
You know what's crazy, man, is they're 3.5 games out of a playoff spot, the Cubs. Like, how close would the Pirates have been to selling? Or at least not adding? Like, if they lost the series against the Phillies, if they only won 2 out of 3 against the White Sox, and they'd be sitting 3.5 games back, would they be looking at this the same way as Chicago? I'm kind of shocked, actually, that they're waving the white flag the way that they are. And you do wonder how close that line is. I just said in the last segment, I think the Pirates could win the World Series. They were a bad week. They might still be a bad week away from being sellers. Mm-hmm. This thing's on such a razor's edge right now. I wouldn't be waving the white flag if I'm Chicago. You're 3.5 back, and nobody's good. It's kind of shocking to me. Uh-huh. The one thing I do take, then, if you're right, and they're just not going to do business with a division foe, you've got the Cubs 6 more times. And so if they do sell off a couple of pieces, that makes them all the more beatable. Not saying you get 6 free wins, but it would be easier if they got rid of the Bellingers or the Ian Happs of the world. So this is nothing but good news for the Pirates, that the Chicago Cubs are now all of a sudden sellers. And I do think it would be cool if Ian Happ came back.
I think it would be cool, too.
Yeah, but you're probably right. Unlikely. Now, would they even be willing to add that kind of salary, I'm wondering? The Pirates. Because we've talked about Luis Robert Jr. from the other side of town in Chicago and what he's going to be owed.
How many years would you have Happ for?
2. 21 and then 19. I think the Pirates are in a tough spot, actually, at the deadline, like, to buy. Because if Parado's report is to be believed, and they don't want to add a ton of salary, you're going to be going after the Brent Rookers of the world. And everybody wants Brent Rooker.
Yes.
Like, if he didn't play on the A's, he'd be an MVP candidate. And if, you know, in a world where Aaron Judge doesn't exist. But he's cheap. He's under team control. Now, 29 might hurt a little bit, but you're going to have to give up a lot probably to get that guy. And so the Pirates probably don't want to do that, give up that many prospects. But if you took on salary, a lot of salary, like 19, 21 mil, you probably wouldn't have to give up a ton of prospects.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like they want to do that. Right. So you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place here on that. Like, you got to either be willing to part with big-time prospects, or you got to be willing to take on the damn money. Like, you can't go into this and say, well, we want to hold on to all our blue-chip guys, and then we also don't want to have to pay $20 million next season for a player. No. If you're going to go for it, you got to go for it in one form or another.
I mean, I would just look at it like this. Like, I'm loaded at pitcher. Like, who is – and we said this last week. Who's a part of my future? Okay, like, at least one or two guys, or maybe one guy – so Salamedo or Bubba Chandler, who do I see a part of this future? Probably Bubba Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to part ways in order to get the pulse, and like we keep saying, of everything that's going on right now and where we are. Like, I'm willing to part ways. Like, how many pitchers do you need?
Right. Like, well, and I understand exactly what you're saying, and I do agree in full form. I will also say I'd include Tamar Johnson in a deal, for sure, 100%. I think he's going to be a good player. He's come on in the second half of this season. He looks like the guy that we all thought he was coming into the year. But when's he going to be here? At the tail end of mm-hmm. the Skeens project?
Right.
Like, you know, 2 years from now? And he's not a sure thing, but he's still got value.
I mean, it seems like those spots are locked up, though. He's a middle infielder.
And then there's also that.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, you got Gonzalez and you got Cruz.
So Salamedo doesn't have the cachet that a Bubba Chandler would have
right.
in a deal. But if you packaged him and Tamar Johnson, who is not a sure thing, who is blocked by your middle infielders, like you said, Doran, and is not going to be here until later on in the window, I'd be offering him big time.
Listen, you know what I would do before we take a break here?
Oh, boy, here we go.
I'd package Tamar Johnson with Jared Jones.
You're trading Jared Jones already?
Because Bubba Chandler can be my Jared Jones.
Mackey did say that he thinks that he could be a better player than Jared Jones.
Because Jones gives up too many home runs. We already went over
this. It's not even that. It's just the fact that I already have my two aces in Keller and Skeens, and then if I have another younger player that I think is going to be up next year, if I could get him up on the roster at the end of the year, see what he has, I mean, you can hit you could strike lightning in a bottle again with Bubba Chandler, and he's young, and you developed him. I mean, he's basically Jared Jones 2.0. And Jared Jones could command a decent amount. I mean, I'm sure he's on his way to being healthy, and that's what teams will be worried about. But I think that Jared Jones, with packaged with a prospect, could command a decent amount. You can get something for that.
And Ortiz all of a sudden looks like the guy you thought he could be.
Yes.
And you're going to get Oviedo back next year, and that's no sure thing, but I really like the trajectory he was on. And frankly, the Pirates have not missed with Ben Cherington at the pitching. They have not. They Bailey Falter, it worked. Luis Ortiz, now working. They manage Skeens, great. Mitch Keller, they figured it out with him. Like, if they get a pass anywhere, it should be Ben Cherington and what he has done to acquire pitching help and develop, actually, pitching help. Rowanzi Contreras, that didn't work out. Quinn Priester, okay, but the success stories far outweigh the failures. I don't think I would do it just yet, but I get the tree you're barking up. You have a stockpile of pitching. You can't score runs. You got to part with pitching if you want to score runs.
And for this year, like the way that it's going, I would take a chance on Ortiz being my third guy or even Falter if we made it to the playoffs.
And Marco Gonzalez is pretty good.
I'm just...
412-928-9370. Can't wait to see what the text line does after that scorching hot Doran Dickerson trade proposal. All right, coming up next, we're going to preview the Steelers' running back position, and then we'll get more into the Buccos and Skeens Day at the top of the hour. Bouncing off what you said last segment, Doran, there is a Pirate that a week and a half ago I said trade, and now I don't want to trade him anymore. So I'll tell the people that guy coming up at 9 o'clock. The 50-minute man, my grandma died. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We have been breaking down the Steelers offense position by position at the 50-minute mark of each hour. We got quarterbacks coming up for the final segment of the show, but running backs right now, in a simple question perhaps to start things off, Doran, at the end of the year, will the Steelers regret the decision not to have picked up Najee Harris's fifth-year option?
No, because they'll just go and negotiate something at the end of the year. No.
I don't think they will.
He's not going to get... They're going to legitimately split the running backs. They're going to be 50-50 this year.
I could easily see Najee Harris having a career year, but if he does that, that doesn't prove to me that you need Najee Harris on the team next year. It will tell me that the offensive line is finally in a good place with all the talent they have. It'll tell me that they've finally got an offensive coordinator who's not a Nimrod. He's been pretty good. 1,000 yards in each of his first few seasons. If unspectacular, he's at least been solid for them. Not a breakaway speed guy, but you know he can shoulder the load. You know he'll play through injury. What I will say is, if he takes off, it'll just tell me we can plug and play somebody else with Jalen Warren, and we feel like we can get probably pretty good results from that guy without having to break the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Warren or Najee Harris? More yards from scrimmage in 2024. Which guy?
Jalen Warren.
I do think I'm with you on that, too.
Yes.
I think there's still meat on that bone from a pass reception standpoint.
I think efficiency-wise, you want to hear a hot take?
Let's hear it. Trade Jared Jones? Or
right. I think efficiency-wise per touch, Cordarrelle Patterson.
What?
I'm going to go 45% Najee, 45% Jalen, and 10% Cordero. I think that there's big plans for him on the offense.
Sprinkle him in.
Yep. They're going to utilize him a lot.
I'm going to go completely the other way, and I'm prepared to just fall flat on my face. I bet you he doesn't touch the ball 35 times this year from scrimmage. He'll be a kick returner.
You want to put a bet on that? Let's do a bet. All right. I love this bet.
I also know who you know and who I'm sure you've talked to, and I don't love where I'm coming down on this.
I love this bet.
I think Cordero's had a really good NFL career, and I think he's going to be wonderful on special teams. But I don't want to take Jalen Warren or Najee Harris off the field.
You don't have to.
I knew you were going to say that, too. What are we betting?
Oh, I'll come up with something.
We'll come up with something.
Yeah. Callis. Look, Callis, he's smirking back there. He can't wait. Something good.
All right, last question for you. Do you think Jalen Warren can be a feature back in the NFL?
No.
I don't know that I think he can't, but I would say no right now. Like, I don't think you'd be in a great spot if Najee were to, knock on wood, really get hurt and have to miss like 9 weeks. Then you would see a lot of Cordero for sure.
Yes.
Could Jalen Warren carry the load for 8-9 weeks at his size? I don't know. Not at 25 touches a game.
I don't think that they would. I think that they would alter the offense.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think he needs to be like. I don't think he needs to be on a team, if he was on a different team, like with a feature back, for him to be as good as he is. Like, I think if he had somebody that was just like him, like at the same production, he would do just as well. Like, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't need to be behind Najee Harris. He doesn't need to be behind Derrick Henry. He doesn't need to be behind a Saquon Barkley. Like, he can be an equal to somebody else,
yeah.
But just he needs somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need somebody that's better.
He just needs somebody so where he's not the guy who touches the ball 25, 30 times.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think he can pop this year. We've talked about the line earlier on in the show. We touched on it briefly here in this segment. If you look at his yards per carry last season compared to Najee's, now people would say that the box was stacked more for Najee. Okay, fair, fine. What he was able to do behind these last few offensive lines, and now with a creative play caller and with a legitimately talented offensive line, I think he's going to be in the highlights a lot.
Yeah, he's going to. I think they're both going to have a really good year.
Mm-hmm. And they have to. They have to. The way they're designed, the running game has to be good, and it has to be good at the start of the year. It can't come on late the way it has the last few seasons. All right, we'll break down quarterbacks coming up at about 9:48, 9:50. Coming up next, you mentioned a player in the last segment you would consider trading if you're the Pirates. I had a guy I said about a week and a half ago I would definitely move. I don't want to move him now. We'll tell you about all that when we come back. It's also Skeens Day. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 85, low 63, overcast.